But anyway, come to this meeting if you want. It'll be at 4:30 at the Community House Trailers. And check that out. That's at Highway 1 and River Street. And that's kind of what happened at the Homeless Issues Task Force. That was the big issue. It took five meetings to get to that, actually. Three formal meetings and two subcommittee meetings when it was a relatively simple, done deal to start with. And I was surprised they didn't just do it and move along. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm your host on the Sunday morning, 96.3 FM. I'm Bathrobe's peer, Robert Norse. Call-in number, if you want to comment on anything you've been hearing or not hearing, is 427-3772.
Of the poor and nameless. Today's journey takes us to the streets of your city, where we'll visit the homeless in their native habitats, street corners of makeshift cardboard shelters, sewer grate and doorway bedrooms, soup line kitchens lit by blazing oil barrel fireplaces, alleyways of the addicted, the unemployed, the destitute, the insane, eating and sleeping in the most unlikely places. It's all here on Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless.
Now, in the ghetto, there's always room for the ethnic population boom. The melting pot boils past the brim while the people's future's looking grim on Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless, begging for a bite to eat. Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless, sleeping on the city street. Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless, seldom seen on your TV. Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless, coming soon to you and me. You and me. Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless. Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless.
It's September 2nd, 1999.
Second.
And we're here in the Halls of Justice, where the only justice is in the halls, and it's about 10:25. We're talking to a few of the supporters of the Santa Cruz Five. What's your name, sir?
My name's Steve.
Steve, what brings you to this gloomy corridor?
Well, I'm here to support my friends today.
And what are they accused of?
I'm accused of blocking a paddy wagon.
That was hauling away some woman with a boombox, right?
Exactly.
And what do you think of this whole situation?
Well, I think the charges should be dropped right away, and I can't say enough for Ben Rice, who's handling Steve Argy's case for free. Got to really...
And impresses you?
Congratulate him, yeah, or thank him very much for that.
Anything you want to add?
That's about it.
Thank you, Steve.
Here's Ben right here. You can give him one of the...
And what is your name?
Javita Silva.
And what brings you to this courthouse court?
I'm just coming here to support a friend who was arrested, and just to have my presence here against how controlling the police are in this country.
Well, it's good with me. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
You, sir. You look pretty well dressed to be in this tie-dyed crowd. What are you doing here?
I'm interested in seeing the court proceeding for Jim and for Vinny.
Jim Costner and Vinny Lombardo?
Yes, that's right.
The two notorious stand-around the patrol wagon criminals?
Yes, those two.
Well, what do you think the outcome will be here today?
I really don't know. I'm curious to see what happens.
Well, we'll see. And peering into the door of Department 2, we have that, what are we going to call him, tape recorder criminal Vinny Lombardo, also a reporter for Free Radio Santa Cruz. Vinny, what are you doing here today?
My lawyer advised me not to answer these questions, sir.
Don't give us any of that legal double talk, Mr. Lombardo. What actually is going on here?
Well, this is a pretrial conference right now. They're debating my fate beyond those doors, and I can't even be a part of it. This is how justice in this fucking America works.
Now, don't shout.
We can
hear you. So you're saying that you, the defendant, are not being permitted into this conference where your fate is being decided?
Yeah, exactly. This is justice in this country. This is how it works. You know, these people get paid like $20 an hour to debate my fate, whether or not I'm going to go to jail, whether or not I'm going to have to stand jury trial and face these bogus charges that the Santa Cruz police seem to want to bring me up on.
Now, what are these so-called bogus charges?
Well, there's actually only one charge, and it's 148 of the Penal Code, of course, resisting, obstructing, or delaying an officer in the process of their lawful duties, blah, blah, blah.
And what were these officers doing, and how did you obstruct them?
Well, first of all, they were engaged in an unlawful activity, so there's no way I could even
be guilty
of this charge. Well, kidnapping for one, a theft of a radio for another, false arrest, false imprisonment, these kinds of unlawful activities that the police were engaged in.
This is at the May 22nd protest to end the bombing of Yugoslavia?
That's correct, yes. And here we are protesting a war, and we get attacked by a rogue power.
A number of police officers who decided to create a scene.
That's correct. Some of the same officers that are time and time again involved in political repression. You look at Officer Lefevre, Officer McMahon, both of these individuals have been involved in numerous political cases. They know who I am, they know what I'm about, and Sergeant McMahon chooses to write in her police report, "The subject later identified as Lombardo," as if she had no idea who I was when she contacted me. That's a total farce. I have photographs of this woman from 3 years ago, okay? Outside of my house with bolt cutters in her hand at Campbell Street where I was arrested, so she knows who I am. The same incident where Officer Lefevre was seen throwing urine bottles off of the roof in 1996.
To splatter on the sidewalk?
Yes, that's the same officer.
So in other words, you're suggesting that there is a political motive behind this prosecution in the prosecutor's office and the Santa Cruz Police Department?
Not only am I suggesting that, I'm blatantly saying yes. I think the Santa Cruz Police has been engaged in political repression for a number of years, from my own eyes, from my own witness, and this is a clear cut and dry case of that, what happened on May 22nd.
Well, you, of course, are a long-term critic of the police department, frequently a man with a lot of information more than your average person, because you have been, in essence, viewing the police close up with audio machines, with your own eyes, going to spots where police are engaging in what you regard as questionable practices?
Okay, I'll be right back.
All right then. You, sir. Just what are you doing here?
I'm listening to Vinny do an interview with you.
Yes. And your name?
My name is Jim Costner.
And aren't you, in fact, one of the criminals that we're trying to bring to justice here today?
I'm one of the many victims of America that has to, you know, parade through this courtroom shenanigans so that, in the name of justice, why they basically are about ripping people off and putting people in cages, you know, for doing things that this government perpetrates far worse daily.
So what are you charged with?
I'm charged with a resisting arrest on May 22nd.
And that was the same incident that Vinny was involved in, the case of the folks who were protesting noisily, but I was there somewhat, I would say peacefully, the bombing of Yugoslavia and the raising of funds for Representative Sam Farr, or the Democratic Party, let's say, through Sam Farr, on the corpses of the Yugoslavian people.
That's very cleverly put. Yes, we were protesting the war in Yugoslavia, and there was about 70 of us, and as we all know, the NATO powers got away with about almost 100 days of consistent bombing every day and just mass annihilation of thousands of innocent people, and we were protesting those outrageous crimes against humanity, and then the police, under the orders of the local power structure, came down to try to, you know, put a big nail in the anti-war movement, basically, as far as I can tell. And they were successful in some ways, too. Now they got us spending more time on our own cases than they do us, you know, out in the streets organizing real protests against the ongoing wars that are being perpetrated in Iraq and Yugoslavia. Right now they have ground troops still in Kosovo, which is why we were out there originally.
Now you are you representing yourself in this case, right?
I'm representing myself because I don't believe that public defenders or lawyers actually represent us. And
don't you have a right to be in these pretrial conferences that Vinny complained he was being excluded from?
So I thought that we do have a right in them, but what I think of my rights as a human being on this planet and America's America's definition of human rights.
You have a right as if you're representing yourself, you're your attorney, so you have a right as being your own attorney to represent.
Myself, I don't have to worry about that. Yes,
but Vinny, why aren't you inside at this pretrial conference?
Because
doesn't concern you.
I'm not concerned about it this time.
Oh, so you were invited in but declined?
I wasn't even invited in, and even if I was, I probably wouldn't have gone in because I think today's going to be just real smooth. Today's just about getting another court date, basically.
All right, well, anything you want to add for our eager listeners out there?
Just want to encourage people to organize and to fight back and to not give up their rights and to, you know, to stand strong with each other and to build a movement.
Indeed. Thank you, Jim.
And Jim and Vinny are, of course, members of the Santa Cruz Five, the folks that were selected by the police, four of whom were selected by the police, actually the fifth as well, though Steve argues, on trial for punching a police officer to get him to stop torturing a woman with a child. And that's, of course, the trial that's coming up next week, beginning on September 13th. Actually, it's the 14th. It'll be, not much is going to be happening tomorrow, but on Tuesday in Department 5, about 9:30 in the morning, Steve Argue goes on trial for his liberty. And indeed, the Santa Cruz community goes on trial to see if it will be able to retain basic rights to engage in political protest. You might say, well, protest doesn't include striking a police officer. Certainly that's true. However, in circumstances where you are drawn into circumstances where an individual is threatened, you have the right to use lawful force in protection of another person. And that's going to be the argument in this case. The real reality of it is the police department and the district attorney's office have made a big cause celebre of this issue. That is to say, they have not made a cause celebre of this issue. They have forced others to use a lot of their time and energy and resources to defend against these court cases. Not only is Steve's trial begin on the 14th, effectively, but Vincent Lombardo, who you heard speaking, comes back on September 10th at 8:15 a.m. Wait a minute, that's last week. Sorry. There's going to be a Kuo Ling Liao, who is the woman whose arrest provoked this entire situation. She was the woman who was accused of, well, kind of the stories go back and forth, but she was accused of, it's either disturbing the peace or unreasonable noise or amplified sound. It's a little unclear to me. and she was hauled away, and people thought, why is she being hauled away for an offense that is usually an infraction where you don't get the custodial arrest? But it turned out that they later reduced it to an infraction. They were originally going to cite her, they were going to arrest her for a misdemeanor, but they didn't tell anybody about any of this stuff. And of course, police customarily will say, we can't, that would violate the defendant's rights, the suspect's rights. But in fact, Kuo Leng would have been happy to tell if she had known what she was being arrested for. But when I interviewed her a week and a half later, she told me she had no idea what she was being arrested for at the time. So the police didn't tell her, they didn't tell the crowd. Instead, they just took this action coming out of nowhere, and people then surrounded the police patrol wagon that she was being held in and demanded to know what was going on. And police then, led by Officer Lefebvre, actually by Sergeant McMahon, but Lefebvre took a very aggressive role, began to, they went after these two people with children in their arms, Julien and Almond. Almond was the man, Julien was the man, was the woman. And as a consequence of this and the kind of brutal assault that Lefebvre was doing against this woman, Steve Argue punched him. Then they went after Steve Argue, pepper sprayed him down the throat in a dangerous, life-threatening way. Witnesses claim he was punched by police officers, beaten by police officers, in essence. He was held without his eyes being washed out for a period of time. Could have been dangerous for him if he had been asthmatic, for example, with the pepper spray situation. Then he was held for many days in jail in solitary. And eventually got out after a supporter posted a $25,000 bail through her house. She had to put up her house as collateral. So all that's coming up, and I'm going to be talking more about Steve Argue and what appears to be a, I don't want to say necessarily a pattern of harassment, but certainly choices by officers to harass or arrest or go after this particular person. Steve has suffered a number of additional arrests and stops and citations for stuff that one would regard as minor. His vehicles have been taken. He faces another charge from a July 22nd incident, which we actually covered extensively on Free Radio, where he was simply with Vinnie Lombardo watching a what was really an improper police action downtown, where an officer was demanding, keeping a check, a man's check back from him, a cashier's check, to investigate it, when in fact she had no probable cause to believe there was something wrong. And Steve and Vinny were informing the crowd of what was going on, and police officers arrived and just started shoving them around, and then just dragged Steve off to jail and charged him with resisting arrest. Arrest for what? Again, that's the blank space that apparently they don't have to fill in. As long as you're being arrested, that's all that counts. This the case, however, that I'm concerned about with Steve Argue happened many months ago, back in November, and I actually filed a lengthy 15-page, 20-page document with the Citizens Police Review Board claiming that not so much the officer arrested him, but the head of the police department, Police Chief Steve Belcher, is culpable of either negligence or deliberate cover-up on this situation. And we're going to be, perhaps if we have time today, if not today, then another time, be playing you some of the background for this. This is something we've talked about before on the station. It has to do with the arrest of people for selling street newspapers. In Santa Cruz, it's legal to sell things like Street Spirit and Street Sheet. These are papers distributed and sold by homeless people for a dollar. Lots of good information and news in them. Some local writers, lots of some local news about civil rights for homeless people. And police have, last fall, several of them took to telling street vendors they couldn't sell these papers without a license, which costs a lot of money, and they obviously couldn't afford, until we pointed out to them that that was not only a violation of the First Amendment, which guarantees freedom of the press federally, not only a violation of the state constitution, which has a similar guarantee in it, I believe, but also a violation of the actual city codes, which specifically exempts newspapers from requirements of a business license. And indeed, Chief Belcher, when informed that officers Eveleth and Headley had stopped Anthony Douglas in front of the Cinema 9 and confiscated his papers in September, apologized for that action. And we thought, an apology from the police department. Could there be a change in the Santa Cruz citizen-police relationship? This would be great. But alas, no, it was not to be. Instead, we learned that Parks and Rec Rangers were beginning to harass people for selling papers, and then a California Highway Patrol person went and arrested cited someone for selling papers near the Ocean Street Denny's. Again, each time using the sections that had to do with selling papers without a license, or it was in the wrong location. It was a form of, and I have to say, either complete insensitivity by the police agencies involved or simply harassment. And then, of course, the most famous case came up in November, the case of Steve Argue. Steve was selling the paper in front of the New Leaf Market. He was approached by Officer Garner. Officer Garner simply told him, "You can't sell this newspaper. Where's your business license?" And Argue ever got angry very quickly because there had been this history of harassment of street people and people selling street papers that presumably was supposed to have been cleared up. And here came this guy coming after him again. And he said, I'm just not going to, in essence, told off the police officer and turned away from him. Garner called for backup, threw him to the ground, had him hauled off to jail, and then discovered, oops, there's no statute. It's a false arrest. So we complained about this twice to the Citizens Police Review Board, plus the fact that Argue was held in jail for 4 days. He was held in solitary. He was charged first, additionally, with the newspaper charge disappeared. But instead, we had resisting arrest, that famous charge that you heard about earlier today, and also a felony charge of either threatening an officer or terrorist threats. I'm not quite sure what the wording of it is. And both these charges also mysteriously disappeared the day he was let out without bail, which is very unusual. Such serious charges usually at least go to arraignment. But they weren't, they didn't even make it to, they didn't even show up on his docket when he left the jail. They were gone. They evaporated. Still, the police department, I should say the district attorney's office, kept his file and his police reports under wraps for 8 months afterwards. So none of us had access to them, including Steve Argue himself. Except, of course, for the Citizen Police Review Board, to whom I filed a complaint about the conduct of Officer Garner. I said, Garner is making a false arrest. This is wrong. And it's been clarified in the past. Can't arrest people for selling street newspapers. Garner should be sanctioned and disciplined for this. Well, the old Citizens Police Review Board didn't agree with me, and they didn't tell me why. So a second person filed a complaint called Eric Potter, who was an actual witness to the situation. The new police review board, that is the board that came in after the city council elections in November, which put on some better people, but they still refused to authorize a public hearing, and they voted to dismiss the complaints. And there was a kind of a complicated rationale there that said, yes, it was a false arrest, but he went to his sergeant and asked his sergeant, gee, daddy, can I do it? And the sergeant said, yeah, and therefore it wasn't Garner's fault. That was the rationale of the dismissing of that particular complaint. Then I got a letter from Police Chief Steve Belcher, and he explained to me why that complaint was invalid. He said he wasn't really arrested for selling street newspapers. It was different. It had to do, he was blocking the sidewalk. Well, I went ballistic, and if you listen to my show regularly, you'll remember hearing me kind of rage on that we had a police chief who appeared to be getting reasonable back in September when he wrote a letter of apology for his officers overstepping their bounds and interfering with freedom of the press. But now he was covering up an officer who clearly had done it again, and I suspected it was just a matter of avoiding legal liability. He did not want the city to have to face this legal consequences, and he would then have to face the job consequences of letting the city in for a big lawsuit, particularly when we hope the city attorney's job, the police chief's job, the city manager's job come up for review in October. Now, I don't know that all that is happening. I know it is happening with the city attorney. But these guys should have been out a year ago. We have a new city council. They should have dumped all three of these guys who are responsible for cover-ups galore, supporting police behavior that is inappropriate, selling off the city to Charlie Canfield and his guys, and also giving legal opinions that essentially support conservative factions in town that have nothing in common with supposedly, and what we hope will be, or has been occasionally, but isn't most of the time, but should be, the council majority. The council that 64% of the voters voted in when they voted for Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar last November. So anyway, I'm talking about the Steve Argue case. There's, of course, a Steve Argue trial tomorrow, a very serious one for assaulting an officer. What that means is, of course, is he was defending a member of the public in a police-instigated situation where a noisy but peaceful protest was turned into an angry protest. The police essentially defanged the protest and distracted the protesters by this bogus arrest of Kuo Ling Liao. Indeed, as recently as a month ago, they thought they had the wrong woman. What was her crime? Supposedly playing a boombox aloud with the sounds of bombing that was happening in Yugoslavia in downtown Belgrade, which offended, they said, members of the banquet inside the McPherson Center, where Representative Farr and Democratic Party bigwigs, Daryl Darling and city council members, Crone and Sugar and everybody you can imagine in town, were all just sort of toasting glasses and having their Democratic Party brouhaha while people were dying in Yugoslavia, thanks to NATO bombs, uranium-depleted weapons, cluster bombs, demands that the government accept some sort of total occupation of the country by NATO, which is what the Rambouillet Accords really amounted to, but nobody talked about or admitted. Anyway, Argue goes on trial for this tomorrow, and what I'm talking about is an incident that happened many, many months ago where the police chief wrote me a letter which was a clear series of falsehoods or absolute acts of negligence on his part. And so I delivered this lengthy complaint to the police department and to the Citizens Police Review Board. That's going to be on the agenda on the Monday Citizens Police Review Board. And the Monday Citizens Police Review Board meeting is at 5:30, and there are a number of reasons why folks might want to go to it, a number of kind of interesting things that will be happening there. First, there's going to be the independent investigator of the May 22nd events, the events that Steve Argue is being tried for the next week. She should be at that meeting, and she has been, this is the first ever so-called independent early investigation which has ever happened in the city of Santa Cruz through the Citizens Police Review Board since it was created back in 1994. So that's kind of a historic moment. But the bad news is that the city attorney has informed the Citizens Police Review Board that any report that the investigator makes will be completely confidential. That is to say, it'll go to the board, it'll go to the police department, but it will not go to the public. So the basic point of an independent investigator, that there is somebody who can present a report to the public and explain what's going on, is going to be lost. And part of this has to do with, again, this is a Barrasoni opinion. Barrasoni is part of the old guard. Part of it has to do with his reading. I suspect the police chief got together with him on this issue, and that's what happened there. But I think also there is a very strong state lobby by the police department to put these incredible privileges that police have into their, quote, Bill of Rights, which means anything that gets into their personnel file becomes confidential. Even if the person who's filing the complaint says, this isn't confidential, everybody can read it, the minute it hits the personnel file, it becomes utterly confidential. So that is going to be on the agenda. I'm going to be suggesting to the board, and I hope they will be taking up the idea. They're going to go get another legal opinion about this and do something about this, whole notion of making the independent investigation a farce. That's a serious problem. That'll be on the agenda. Another thing on the agenda, I hope, will be the Belcher complaint that I talked to you about, the complaint that Chief Belcher is covering up the arrest of Steve Argue for covering newspaper for selling newspapers, the false arrest, covering for one of his officers inappropriately and in a shamelessly public way. I mean, it shows he apparently just doesn't think he's going to be held to account at all on this issue. That hopefully will also be on the agenda. Then there's going to be an oral communications period. Last time, Citizens Police Review Board Chair Arnie Leff was very dictatorial, if you will. He cut people off very quickly. He said you could only have 3 minutes to speak. This is the city council limit, but had not been the limit at all at the Citizens Police Review Board. He has given personal assurances to myself and other critics that this will be at least 5 minutes per person, is my understanding. hopefully that any time will be split among people. So if you have stuff you want to bring about police misconduct, you want to talk about it publicly, come at 5:30 on Monday, tomorrow, and talk about it. It's important. Whatever you've seen, whatever's going on, whatever you're concerned about, bring those issues up. In the meantime, let's have a sort of a musical interlude. This is a bit of music that I was able to kind of dredge up. If I can get the proper... Yeah, I think this is it. When a number of us were being arrested in Representative Farr's office, a peaceful arrest for which charges were eventually dropped, and it happened to us twice, to bring the attention of the public to Farr's complete failure to respond to relatively simple questions about the war in Yugoslavia and his votes in Congress, where he voted essentially to let the president carry on the war without congressional approval, where he voted for like $10 to $15 billion in additional armaments. And you can see how successful this is in Yugoslavia now, with the Albanian KLA essentially, you know, driving the Serbs out of the Kosovo area completely. Here is a song that was sung at that time, and something that will make us remember why Steve Argue is on trial on Monday, or Tuesday actually, is when the real trial begins.
When the angel sends his airplane up to do the reaper's deed, we realize the war they fight is just a war of greed. And we're turning fatter as civilian families bleed until we stop the war. Stop the bombing forever. Stop the bombing forever. Stop the bombing forever, for we will stop the war. When we feel the human crisis and we drop the bomb, a million pounds of warheads with the uranium. 3,000 pounds of paper, but we know that he is gone, and we will stop the war. Stop the bombing forever. Stop the bombing forever. Stop the bombing forever. For we will stop the war. Like we may make a lot, attacks on every hour, work is how these bombs are bought. It's great to know that all my sweat is getting children shot, so we will stop the war. Stop the bombing forever. Stop the bombing forever. Stop the bombing forever. For we will stop the war. When no river still hit the tiny bend in the sea, the moment that we love is all that is there as we see.
Well, you get the idea. That Stop the Bombing Forever, a song written by activist, or perhaps he'd call himself fellow worker, William Ma, who's done a lot of speaking, a lot of writing, and he'll be testifying presumably at the Argue trial next week. That's in Department 5, all day Tuesday, Wednesday, and however long it takes. Bring a book, bring a newspaper, because you may be excluded from the courtroom if you're a witness. That's going to be my fate. But I'm hoping to make a tape of the entire trial, and we can actually then hear it later, possibly even for public use. Although usually I get these tapes for private use so that I can just take notes on them. Judges are less likely to turn down your request that way. Well, lots of things are happening tomorrow on Monday. There actually are, as I also pointed out, lots of things happening today. If you want to rush down to the duck pond, you can catch the World Trade Organization guerrilla theater activities. Interesting stuff, and I think educational stuff for us to learn how to use if you want to do protests that attract positive public attention and get some change. 1 o'clock, the I get this name wrong, but it's the community. There's a community coalition effort, Common Action, I believe it's called, planning a conference from the 1st to the 3rd on getting a lot of organizations together on those 3 days. And they're planning this. That'll be at the Bagelery at 1 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock, the Mumia Coalition meets at the Bagelery. That's the downtown Bagelery, in case you want to join that. But now when we skip to tomorrow, on Monday, one of the first things that's happening is a 4 o'clock meeting of the Parks and Recs Commission at City Hall. Who cares about that? Well, Parks and Rec is going to be covering the Neary Lagoon skateboarding issue, for one thing. And the skateboarding issue has to do with whether young people should have a skateboarding park in that location. And there's been a lot of brouhaha recently about how this is going to be environmentally detrimental to the Neary Lagoon area. Visions of skateboarders skateboarding through and rattling away the fish and frightening the birds has been the specter raised by local neighbors. I think they're local neighbors. And so one wonders if it's a NIMBY issue or an environmental issue. Is it a not-in-my-backyard issue? Or are there really environmental concerns? And you can come and I think I would say speak up for the rights of young people to have a skateboarding park somewhere. And if these environmentalists want to move it somewhere else, these so-called environmentalists, let them propose where and how and actually get behind that. I walked through the area the other week and I saw that the area that they are considering putting a skateboarding park in is already gravel. I mean, it's not like they're going to be covering over part of the marsh. And the idea that skateboarders would then skateboard all the way through the area, the marshes and the so forth, there's a whole series of kind of floating paths on floating wooden paths. That would clearly be, I would assume, illegal to do that. And people would be facing tickets and citation if they did that, just as they face such a thing now. You're not allowed to do that. So I'm concerned that this is a pretext by local neighbors who just don't want the skateboarding park there, similar to people who oppose homeless shelters and neighborhood areas and so forth. So come on to the Parks and Rec meeting and talk about that. Also, David Silva has brought to my attention the fact that Parks and Rec has other subjects you can bring up if you want to talk to them. One has to do with the fact that a lot of the sleeping tickets, and they aren't even sleeping tickets now, they're calling them encampment tickets, as I talked to you about earlier in the show, are being done through the Parks and Rec Department rather than through the police department. The Parks and Rec Department needs to be reminded that basic human rights are really a key issue here, and the fact that there is no shelter for homeless people, the very, very great majority of them, means that the city is opening itself up to legal liability, not to mention being kicked out of heaven, if they ever find their way up there, by harassing people who have no place to go. So that's also, it won't be on the agenda on the Parks and Rec Department, but there will be an oral communication period that will allow you to speak on that subject. Again, you can come to that meeting at 4 o'clock on Monday, tomorrow, at City Hall. Then at 4:30, as I mentioned before, if you want to be in on the how can we present the repeal of the camping ordinance most effectively to the City Council subcommittee, you can come to the Community House at 4:30. That's at Highway 1 and Highway 9, or Coral Street, down there at the Homeless Services Center. Ask anyone down there. They'll direct you to Community House. And finally, at 5:30, it's normally at City Hall, but they'll probably move it across the street, but you'll see a sign to that effect. The Citizens Police Review Board meets with all these issues about will the city attorney and the police department be able to derail an independent investigation by making it a confidential one, and so not worth a dime, and not worth even undertaking in the first place. What about this complaint against Chief Belcher himself and the cover-up from the top? And then there's the whole issue of inquiries versus complaints, whether the Citizens Police Review Board will be able to get back a little of the power it originally had, but then gave over to Police Chief Belcher just because, he's the chief, you know, that sort of thing. There is a series of interesting issues coming up on Monday. Now, regarding skateboarding, last week I was watching the movie To Serve and Protect, kind of a benefit showing for the Santa Cruz Five. That's a movie about local police abuse done by some really skilled student video photographers and video editors, and they put together this interesting series of historical segments on Santa Cruz police abuse. And right at the end of that film, soon afterward,
Vinnie Lombardo, who's a broadcaster here on Free Radio and also a cop watcher, came rushing in and said, "The police are harassing people. Come quickly." So we all piled out of this video presentation to go to Loudon Nelson's Park, the park right next to Loudon Nelson Center where the videos were being shown. It was about 9 o'clock at night. And sure enough, there was Officer Eveleth with his car parked up in the basketball court, partially on the grass, with three young criminals seated on the ground on their instruments of crime. That is to say, of course, three skateboarders. Let's hear this incident as I recorded it.
We're talking to
Roslyn Clark.
That's another one we're going to be hearing in a moment, but let's get back to the one that I just mentioned. I think I have here these tapes just disappear from right in front of me. What I'm going to do is give you a little musical break as I scour the vicinity. Stay with us. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM.